Spiritual splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir. Spiritual splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir. Spiritual splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله Welcome once again to another episode of the series called Spiritual Splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen We are discussing the blessings of this month along with the dhikr and the remembrance of Sultan al-Awliya Hazrat Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Abdul Qadir al-Jilani قُدِّسَ سِرُّهُ النُّرَانِ Let's commence with the recitation of Durood and Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we do in every other program, dear viewers. As the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever recites Salat upon me 3 times during the day and 3 times at night with love and devotion, Allah azza wa jal will forgive the sins he committed during that day and that night. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Riza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala in his poetry he says, Apne khata waro ko apne hi daman mein lo apne khata waro ko apne hi daman mein lo kon kare ye bhala tum pe karodon durood kon kare ye bhala tum pe karodon durood kaam wo le lijiye تم کو جو راضی کرے ٹھیک ہو نام رضا تم پہ کروڑوں درود کعبے کے بدر الدجا تم پہ کروڑوں درود طیبہ کے شمس الدحا تم پہ کروڑوں درود الحمدللہ رب العالمین This program being the second episode of this fantastic series Spiritual Splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir Alhamdulillah we have welcomed this month in our previous episode we have spoken about the virtues and blessings of this month and in today's program we are speaking about the devotion of Sarkari Baghdad, the king of the leader of the awliya and the king of Baghdad, Huzur Ghawth Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali's blessed parents, devotion of his blessed parents, as we had discussed the blessings of this month in the previous episode in yesterday's program. Inshallah Zawajal, what makes Alhamdulillah, what makes this program even more blessed and even more auspicious is that I am accompanied by our senior colleague who needs no introduction to the airwaves of Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He has come many a times in our programs. And this is the first da'wat, Alhamdulillah, the first invitation and the first program we are doing in this particular program with Mawlana Sahib. And he is none other than our respected, honorable Hafiz Mawlana Naushad At-Tari Sallamahul Bari. Let's welcome our senior colleague with the opening greetings of peace and blessings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Once again, Mu'asab, we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. How has Mu'asab been keeping?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Well, mashallah. It's our actually honor and fortune that we are discussing this King of the Awliya Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
We are the fortunate ones.
Actually. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. In fact, Mu'asab, it is the blessings of Madani Channel that this information, I mean, in Arabic, in Urdu, in Bangladeshi, in English, in all these various languages in Arabic, the zikr of Ghawth Pak is taking place through the airwaves of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah. In other languages as well, in Zulu, when there are Muballighin who are speaking that language, mashallah. There are many other languages which are spoken in the mahal of Dawat Islami and the preachers and Muballighs of this beautiful, fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah are preaching through this channel. May Allah bless those who forward the program, share the links and programs with others for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So nonetheless, Mu'asab, Alhamdulillah, we have commenced with our program and this is a very beautiful topic to learn about the parents of Ghawth Pak, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, on his own, Alhamdulillah. We have heard many karamat with regards to Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, but to learn and know the simplicity, the humbleness, the taqwa, piety and lifestyle of his blessed parents will open the mind of a person to make him understand when this is the state of his parents, then what would have been the state of Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, because the seed is important, the origin is important.
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah. Absolutely. And them as being the origin, yani the parents of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the reason for his birth in this world. We are going to be discussing their piety, taqwa, how can one adopt piety, so on and so forth. Before we go any further, let's listen to a beautiful kalam until we return. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ey shahe jilani, ey shahe jilani, ey mire mirani, ey mire mirani, nazre karam khudara, piro ke pir, nazre karam khudara, نظرِ کرم خدا را نظرِ کرم خدا را ہر کارِ غوثِ اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا را میرا خالقہ صبر دو میرا خالقہ صبر دو میں فقیر ہوں تمہارا نظر کرم خدا را اے شاہ جیلان نظر کرم خدا را اے میر میران نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے سب کا کوئی نہ کوئی دنیا میں آسرا ہے میرا بجز تمہارا نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را مولا علی کا صدقہ دادا پیا کا صدقہ گنجے شکر کا صدقہ احمد رضا کا صدقہ نوری ضیاء کا صدقہ مرشد پیا کا صدقہ میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث میری لاج رکھ لو یا غوث میں مرید ہوں تمہارا نظر کرم خدا را پیروں کے پیر نظر کرم خدا را روشن ضمیر نظر کرم خدا را نظر کرم خدا را جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا جھولی ہماری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا ایسے سخی کا منگتا شاہ جینا کا منگتا نظر کرم خدا را،
اے شاہ جیلا
نظر کرم خدا را،
اے میر میرا
نظر کرم خدا را، نظر کرم خدا را،
یہ عطا دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے، یہ عطا دستگیری کوئی میرے دل سے پوچھے، وہی آ گئے مدد کو، وہی آ گئے مدد کو، میں نے جب جہاں پکارا،
نظر کرم خدا را،
اے میر میرا
نظر کرم خدا را،
اے پیر پیرا
نظر کرم خدا را، نظر کرم خدا را،
یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا، یہ تیرا کرم ہے مرشد جو بنا لیا ہے اپنا، کہاں روسیا فریدی، کہاں مجھ سا یہ نکما، کہاں سلسلہ تمہارا،
نظر کرم خدا را،
پیروں کے پیر
نظر کرم خدا را،
روشن ضمیر
نظر کرم خدا را، نظر کرم خدا را،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Nonetheless, dear viewers, we said that we often speak about Sarkar Baghdad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and this year inshallah, commencing with his discussion for the next 11 days, we want to speak about his blessed parents, right? It's important to know the parents and the family members of the person whom we follow Muasab and whom we take as our role model. And since this is the origin, as I mentioned before this kalam, parents out there, you have a great responsibility. Jiha, you have a major responsibility, and learn from the lives of the pious predecessors who lived before us, who seen this lifetime before us, who walked on the same earth that you and I walk upon, who also ate, drank, performed worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, read the same salah which you and I perform, eat the same food that you and I eat, but they attain the qurb of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They attain the closest of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They seen the same Kaaba that you and I see. They recited the same kalima which you and I recite. But look at the difference. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. It is for their reason, Allah Azza wa Jalla, for their sake, Allah provides sustenance, Allah provides rain, Allah provides livelihood on this earth. For their sake, unke sadqe mein, Allah Azza wa Jalla keeps everything sustained. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, with regards to the parents of Ghawse Pak, inshallah, we're going to ask our respected guest who's with us in studio once again, Hafiz Maulana Naushad Attari Chishti Sallamahul Bari, mashallah, and he will enlighten us more. But the basic information which is important for every follower to know is that, of course, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, is from a very, very, very noble family. Allahu Akbar. Jiha. Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala li, his blessed family was very famous for their piety. His blessed mother, her blessed name is Hazrat Sayyidatuna Fatima, whereas she is the daughter of another great sheikh, a great wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, by the name of Abdullah Soma'i radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Whereas his this is the mother of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Fatima. Sayyidatuna Fatima, who is the mother of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala li. And then her appellation is Ummul Khair, whereas her title is Amatul Jabbar. These are the titles and the names that she was often remembered by, the viewers of Madani Channel. On the other hand, if you look at the blessed father of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala li, Sayyid Musa is His blessed name. Whereas, subhanAllah, His blessed appellation is Abu Salih, and Jangi Dost is the title of the blessed name of his of the father of Wasif Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, very famous as Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost Mohsab. And people often ask the reason behind Jangi Dost, and inshallah azza wa jalla we will ask Mohsab to basically maybe give us a reason as to Abu Sayyid Musa is his name. Yeah. Appellation is Abu Salih, but why is he called Jangi Dost? Any specific reason for this, if Mohsab could enlighten the viewers out there, because this came in as a question at one stage, Mohsab, and there was no time to give the answer to this question some time back. So maybe Mohsab, inshallah, can shed some light on this.
Well, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you know, you mentioned very rightly that, you know, if you look at the origin, then you'll have an understanding of what comes after.
Bishak.
And Ghawsi Azam's parents, and we would encourage the viewers, the listeners out there, to also read about them, the biographies. I mean, we read about different articles. And how about if we read about the articles about the best biographies of the awliya, the sahaba, the anbiya, and include in there as well the parents of Ghawsi Azam. And you can use that as a blueprint, actually, for you and I, how to live our life.
Right.
Because if you're looking at this question that Mullah Sahib had mentioned, that there's a very lovely incident that took place when Sayyid Musa Jangi Dost Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, the father of Ghawsi Azam, he was going to the Jami' Masjid one day.
Right.
And as he's going by, he sees the king's servants. And the king's servants, they have these clay pots on their heads. What is it filled with? It is filled with khamar.
Allah.
With the wine.
Allah.
They're taking it to the palace.
Allah.
The king, maybe he's having some party or something.
Allah.
So the father of Ghawsi Azam, he goes there, and one by one he cracks all of the pots and he spills all of the wine. Now when the servants, they turn and they see who's doing this, they see this grand figure, this dominating figure of the father of Ghawsi Pak. And they keep quiet. They don't want to say anything in front of him, because he's a pious looking person. In reality, he was pious. So they go off to the palace. They inform the king. The king summons Ghawsi Azam's father, and he asks him that, who are you to do what you have done and to cause all of this takleef to my servants? And he says that I only did what my duty was. I am a supervisor and I have been appointed. So the king now, he's in rage. Who appointed you to do this? Allahu Akbar. Ghawsi Azam's father, in his domineering voice, he says, the one who appointed me as a supervisor is the same one who appointed you as a king.
What an answer, Mohsab.
Allahu Akbar. This is also psychology.
Yeah.
They knew psychology.
Right.
Maybe in case this fancy term that we have today, they didn't have that, but psychology they knew as well. So the same one who appointed me as a supervisor appointed you as the king. The king hears this. He puts his head down. And in fact, he places his head on his knees, and he starts to say that, oh pious man. He brings his tone down, because now it has a direct effect on his mind, on his heart, what he said, you know. And he says, oh pious man, besides, you know, amrun bil ma'ruf wa nahyun anil munkar, besides encouraging people towards goodness and forbidding them from evil, what was the wisdom of your act, what you had done? So father of Ghawsi Pak rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he says that the other reason was to save you from disgrace in this dunya. To save you from disgrace. Because you are going to indulge in this wine and intoxication and invite others as well. And don't you think that you are going to earn evil deeds and punishment for this? You're going to be disgraced. So to save you. And then the king, he gets so impressed with this answer of his, that he says, oh pious man, I also appoint you as a supervisor on my behalf. And Ghawsi Pak's father, he says that when I have already received the privilege of being appointed by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, I don't need anybody else's appointment.
Subhanallah.
And because of this incident, he was given this title of Jangi Dost.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
MashaAllah, Mohsab. There are so many Madani pearls that actually flow from this beautiful incident that you had narrated, Mohsab. I can't even keep them in my mind right now, but I don't know whether the viewers are thinking the same thing I'm thinking right now, Mohsab. Firstly, the courage of Sayyid Musa Abu Saleh Jangi Dost Rahmatullahi Ali, that he did not care for a moment that I am speaking to the king, Mohsab. Usually what happens is that this is a amr, yani it's a hukum of Allah in the Holy Quran Park for calling out people, calling people towards righteousness. Amrun bil ma'roof wa nahyun anil munkar. So this is fard upon every person, yani it is wajib upon a person to stop something, some wrong, some action which is a sin, and he knows this is a sin, so it becomes fard upon him to stop that particular guna, to prevent it from happening, for him to make amal and practice this hukum of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
If you know that man is going to listen, and you keep quiet, that's a sin on you.
Allah,
if you know this person, I can convince them, I can influence them to change their ways. No matter what it is, whether it's alcohol abuse, drug abuse, disrespecting one's parents, or cheating, stealing, lying, whatever it may be. No?
Yani, many examples can be given, but a person should take charge. And here, what happened, Mohsab, due to flattering people, to impress people, or being concerned, or maybe perhaps scared due to the wealth, abundance of wealth they may own. So this becomes a recognition of people. But look at the pious friends and servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They fear none except Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
They fear no person. And when a person fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, then Allah grants that banda this dawlat and this treasures that he fears only Allah and nothing else in this world.
Well, two fears can't be in the heart of a person. Fear of Allah,
Allah,
fear of creation. If you have the fear of Allah, then how can you fear creation?
Masa, this is the question, Masa. How can one adopt fear in the heart, Masa? What is taqwa? What is piety? How can one turn towards this together with that, Mohsab? You know, give us some examples of, since our discussion is of course the piety of Ghawsiyah Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala's parents as well. We are trying to merge, but in this day and age, there might be the youth out there who are between 20, 30, 40, of so on and so forth. MashaAllah, we get different viewers out there, different, MashaAllah, viewers throughout the globe, so we can't rate for an age, but I'm just saying, hoping that we do have a youth out there who will take interest in watching these programs and listening. Alhamdulillah, out there, they are hungry for taqwa. We want to attain that, but what happens, Mohsab, is that one day you find a person, he's very pious, and the next day, that piety just drops. Yani that level just decrease. One day again, he finds himself to be very firm and very concerned about Sharia. And the next minute, things can just swap around, Mohsab, whereas a person fears and experiences no fear whatsoever. So, Mohsab, can you please shed some light in this matter?
You know, if a person is obese, meaning overweight, perhaps they have some sicknesses, or in many cases where they just, you know, this food culture has made them greedy, how we mentioned greed for wealth and then greed for food. And people would advise them, go on a diet. So they fear this now, to go on a diet, because, you know, I got to cut out so many things that I enjoy, so many delicious foods. Right? And finally, when they get onto the diet, and they, in the first, you know, first few weeks, months, it might be difficult for them, because they have to cut down on this, cut down on that, cut down the sugar, carbohydrates, whatever it is. And then, okay, as they're going along, and in between now, okay, hey, you know what, let me just have a burger, man. Then one burger goes to two burgers, and they end up going back down. Maybe because of this circle of friends. Now, without comparison, a person who really wants to develop their taqwa, and taqwa can mean several things. One is fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. One is to develop your piety by developing your character, by following the sunnah, by obeying Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of these things are linked up. Initially, the nafs doesn't want it, doesn't want this diet of taqwa, because it enjoys the pleasures of the dunya. It wants all that, you know, whatever pleasures are there, especially behind which there's evil actions, it enjoys it. So it doesn't want this kind of diet of taqwa, or the pull of taqwa, we can say, the pull of piety. And it will convince you, your mind. So that's why the first thing, it starts there with your mindset. You know, if I, do I really want to, you know, become pious and, you know, gain taqwa and piety, closeness to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, I have to work hard for it. It's not just going to fall from the sky. It's not just going to happen like that. Okay, for whoever Allah wills, can, definitely. But for the general masses, for us, you have to work. That diet, you're going to implement it. You need consistency, istiqamat, steadfastness on the diet. You need to work hard and put all your efforts in and be careful for the cravings. The cravings towards fulfilling evil desires. With us, the normal human beings, each of us has an evil propensity to do evil, to do bad, to harm people, negative things. We all have that. But you also have the capacity to do good and positive things. So that's the way it starts now, my mindset. Okay, I need to change my mindset. They say you change your mindset and you change everything.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, if you change your mindset, I want to become pious. Now what's the next step? So psychologically, mentally, you're ready. Now you need to physically do something. You need to establish your 5-time salah. You need to fulfill the rights of your parents, your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your siblings. You need to follow the sunnah. You need to, what does Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell me about living my life? How should I live my life? And all of these things are linked up and will help a person to develop the piety as well.
Subhanallah. May Allah azza wa jalla grant us the dawlat and the treasures of piety, dear viewers of Madani channel. Don't be scared of this word taqwa. People, as some youth and youngsters are found saying that taqwa sounds to be a very heavy word, Mu'asab. You know, I can't attain taqwa. How do I get taqwa? It doesn't mean that it's on your dressing code only. I mean, the Islam wants you to follow the teachings the things that Islam has taught you through the sadqa of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and would want you to implement that, yani the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But taqwa is the name of that which is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is to attain that fear of Allah azza wa jalla. Just as a person is very cautious about matters related to haram, he should be concerned about even doubtful matters. He should abstain from doubtful matters. That is your taqwa and piety. Just as he's abstinent from major sins, he should watch from minor sins as well. Remember, before every action, there is a reaction. And the moment the thought comes to your mind, that is the taqwa and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That I was going to commit some wrong action, and this thought had prevented me. I fear the punishment of Allah. I fear the hellfire. I fear the azab of the qabr. I fear the fact that kiram and katibin are going to note down this evil action of mine. This is the taqwa. You have it. Bring it out. Mu'asab, with regards to the father of Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, what level of taqwa did he possess, Mu'asab?
Allahu Akbar. You know, we were discussing earlier that in a person's youth, if they can attain, and it's not impossible, if they can attain taqwa at that period in their life, that will help carry them, you know, as they grow older, in age, in experience as well, in their relationships with others.
Okay.
So it's important that from a very young age, in fact, it starts in the house as well. That's where it starts.
100%.
And as you mentioned, it's a responsibility of parents, the mother and the father in particular, the grandparents also, that, you know, what kind of environment do I have in my home? You know, and my child, how am I grooming them up? Is it in accordance with Sunnah? Is it with Islamic values? What kind of training am I giving them? Or am I just feeding them with cartoons and games and all of these things which are not healthy for their diet, their mental diet and their Islamic diet, we can say. The beautiful narration, I think Mu'asab can mention or give permission regarding the apple.
MashaAllah, Mu'asab, please go ahead.
So, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this was way before the blessed birth of Ghawsi Azam, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, when his honorable father was hungry, you know.
And he hasn't eaten anything.
Okay. So the person is starving. And he's there by the river bank and he sees an apple floating down. And so the hunger forced him to grab the apple.
Much natural.
And to eat it. No? After some time now, he's pondering and he's thinking that this apple has to belong to somebody. Allahu Akbar. So he decides that let me follow the river upwards, you know.
From which direction it was flowing? Okay.
I will perhaps come to the orchard or the farm or the place where, you know, it's falling into the river. And then as he's walking and he's going and he's walking, And then he sees a beautiful big building, and he sees an orchard of apples. And one of the trees, the branches are actually hanging over the river, and the ripe apples are falling down. So he thought in his mind, this has to be the place. So he goes, he knocks on the door, and who answers? Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i radiallahu anhu. I was actually the maternal grandfather of Ghusipah rahmatullah ta'ala Ali. And he says, Huzur, I need to confess something to you. I ate an apple which actually belongs to you. So I came to ask your forgiveness. And subhanAllah, he says, I will forgive you on condition that you serve me for 12 years.
Allah.
Not 12 minutes, not 12 hours, 12 years. Oh, now, you know, we have to bring that realization to our minds. This is 12 years we're talking about for eating an apple. Allahu Akbar. So he agrees. He doesn't debate that thing. Only one apple, no debating. No, I'd rather serve my sentence here than in the hereafter.
Allah.
So 12 years go by, and then he says, okay, you need to serve me for another 2 years. Without any question, he serves his time. And he's working on the farm, on the orchards, whatever it is, you know, and then he says, okay, 2 years are up. Are we talking 12, 2 years, just in a few seconds? But imagine 12 years, 2 years, that's a long time. And then Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i radiallahu anhu says, final condition is, I have a daughter who is deaf, who is blind, who is disabled, who cannot use her limbs. You have to make her nikah. Thereafter, you can go wherever you desire. And again, he doesn't say, but no, I served so many years. Nothing of the sort. He says, labbaik. And then he says, nikah is performed. Go into that room. He goes into the room and he is shocked because he sees a sublime and a beautiful lady who's sitting over there. And she doesn't look like she's disabled, nothing. She looks, you know, healthy. And he runs back out and he goes to Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i radiallahu anhu and says, Huzur, I went to the wrong room, I think, because there's a beautiful lady there and she doesn't have any defect. And Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i radiallahu anhu says, no, that is my daughter. Because she has never seen anything haram and forbidden. She has never listened to anything forbidden. She has never walked to any strange man. She has never used her hands to do anything which was prohibited. And subhanAllah, you know, they lived a happy life, a fulfilled life. And the product was none other than the King of Awliya Allah.
Subhanallah.
It's a message for you and me, for parents.
Masha, what a great message. Subhanallah. Just for an apple, he rahmatullahi ta'ala served for 12 years. This is actually the fear of Allah which drives and makes a person, Masha, do this just to attain forgiveness from the Almighty. It is because we take the punishment of the hereafter or the grave to be for granted. When it happens, we'll see. Or if it happens, Allah is great, He'll forgive me. Many of us are hanging on the strings of hope. So many people out there don't fear, or they think that they will be able to tolerate it. Allah ya'udhu billah, may Allah forgive us for even thinking like that. For this could even lead to kufr masab, for even accepting that one can even tolerate the punishment of Allah. It is impossible for humans to even bear the slightest punishment of the hellfire day of you. It is impossible for human intellect to even perceive what it feels like taking the slightest punishment of the hellfire.
Which parent would like this scenario, that they themselves are enjoying the bounties of Jannah, but their children are burning in hell?
Allah.
Of course, no parent would say that, you know what, I'll be happy with that as long as I'm going to Jannah. I mean, they would feel it. That's their child. That's the extension. But now, how are we bringing them up? You know, I need to work on myself, reform myself, and, you know, help them to reform themselves. And it starts at a very tender age.
Allahu Akbar.
Not when they're teenagers.
Exactly. Subhanallah. And looking at the fact that, Masab, this waqiyah and story that you just presented, Masab, with regards to that one apple, okay, this is piety and taqwa, and then mother who, Masab, the description that he heard about death,
Allah.
Unable to speak, unable to see, unable to hear and hold and walk and move and all of that. And finally, when the reason for those terminologies used was given as to why it was said she's blind, because she never used her eyes to sight that was haram. Dear viewers of Madri Channel, this is excellent. when this is the state of his parents prior to his birth, yani when this is the state of their piety, dear viewers, when mother and father are so pious, then what do you think the outcome should be?
Subhanallah.
What do you think the result of such piety should be?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think should be the seed of such excellence and piety, dear viewers? It is beyond our imagination. Allah Azza wa Jalla granted such station to his parents and to Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Allahu Akbar, that it's difficult for us to even reach or imagine this maqam. However, dear viewers, there are numerous and enormous lessons that we learn from these parables that we have just heard now. MashaAllah, MashaAllah explained about the apple and about how he sought forgiveness and for the years that he worked. One thing comes to mind, MashaAllah, after you listen to these waqiyas and these stories, Allahu Akbar. The poet explains this in his language of poetry, Masab, Allahu Akbar. And once again, I would request the viewers of Madani Channel to recite with me, inshallah. For this is our aqeedah, this is our love that we have for Ghawse Azam. This is the name or the power in their names, dear viewers. That when you are, even when you leave this world through the blessings of their names, in this world too, you see the benefit whilst you're living, and even after you're gone from this world, it's still benefit to a person, the poet says.
Azizo kar chuko tayyar jab mere janaze ko, azizo kar chuko tayyar jab mere janaze ko, to likh dena kafan par naam wala Ghawse Azam ka, to likh dena kafan par naam wala Ghawse Azam ka, hame dono jahan mein hai sahara Ghawse Azam ka. Farishto rokte kyun ho mujhe jannat mein jaane se, farishto rokte kyun ho mujhe jannat mein jaane se, ye dekho haath mein daman hai kiska, Ghawse Azam ka, hame dono jahan mein hai sahara Ghawse Azam ka.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya sayyidi ya nabiyallah. Muasab, Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala is a Hassani from his father's side and a Husseini from his blessed mother's side. Allahu Akbar. Such is the family lineage of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Such is the status of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that if we spent here all night discussing him, all 11 days too would never be sufficient, dear viewers. Speaking about his piety, Masab, look, the blessings of having such a mother. Masab, firstly, Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi left to seek ilm-e-deen at such an age, Masab, when usually parents, when they reach old age, they wouldn't want their children to leave their side.
Yes.
Number one is because of age and you're unable to keep charge. So basically you will want the child to grow up in front of you to see, to make sure everything is fine. And second is that it's either you have no istita'at and you have no taqat whatsoever to take care in that age. But this is the motivation of such a mother. Such a mother, yani she is that woman and this pious woman and lady in Islam who had memorized 18 paras of the Quran Pak from her daily routine. Our sisters out there also have children. Allah has blessed you with awlad. Think of the habits that you used to have when you were in that state and listen to what Ghawse Pak's mother would do. She had the habit of reciting 18 paras daily, Muasab. Okay. This waqia we had mentioned before as well. And every year we mention the story. Actually, throughout the year, we always mention these waqiyas for the sake of motivation. When Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala was enrolled in the local madrasa for the first time, and when the ustad had asked him, son, what have you learnt? What have you learnt prior to coming here? Yani, before entering this madrasa, have you learned something from any other place? He said, gee, I have learned something, Muasab. So it was said, okay, recite from that what you know. And he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, began reciting the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Fatiha. And he continued, Alif Lam Mim Sayakul Tilka Lantana Wal Muhsinat La Yuhibbu, to the 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th. He continued adding paras and paras masaf to the extent that he recited 18 paras by heart in one go. Astounded by the fact that such a small child at that tender age would recite so beautifully and eloquently, yani with tajweed, with makharij, and that andaz just happened to make every person there break into tears, Mu'asab. Yani those asatizah that shed tears after listening to the kalam, and that too, kalam recited by such a small child. So it was asked, how did you learn this? The answer was simple, that I learned this not from any madrasa, but rather jiha, when I was in the womb of my mother. Now, this teaches us already, look, subhanallah, Mu'asab, this is what woman in that state should be doing in the first place. Recite the Quran frequently. This is the age, if you stress, it will affect the child. If you take tension, it will affect your baby. Whatever emotions you experience and you go through in your life during that period will affect your child. If it's good, it'll affect in a good way. If it's bad, it's going to affect badly. And their children, even after 12, 13 years of birth, Mu'asab, they still suffer. It's because of this anxiety, this worry, this fikr. And most of the time, women, Islamic sisters out there who stress and who take a lot of tension in that state, it's harmful for the for that state, for being in that state, number one, for the baby, for the person's health itself. And over and above, Mu'asab, this affects the child. But instead of that negative vibe, when it transforms into positivity, Mu'asab, 18 paras, Allahu Akbar, what can you say, Mu'asab?
In fact, you know, the science fraternity, they mention one of the functions to develop earlier on in the fetus is the ability to hear. Here you see that Ghawth-e Pak, rahmatullah ta'ala, his honorable mother, that she's reciting whilst expecting for him. And he can hear all of that. He can hear it. And what he heard, well, he is Ghawth-e Pak now, so he memorized or he knew it well. And then he, first time in madrasa, he recited it. But here, if we bring that into today's context, and if you see, and this is an advice also for expectant mothers out there, then what am I listening to? Ask yourself this question. Am I listening to music, or am I listening to, you know, songs and all these dramas and videos and movies and all of this junk that is there? And don't you think that will affect your child negatively? Because your child would be able to hear that as well. Imagine if that mother, that expected mother, is listening to Naat-e Pak, is listening to Qur'an-e Pak, is listening to Durood-e Pak, is listening to the Sunnah-inspired bayan of Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damal Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, of Nigran-e Shura, or of Muballighin or Muballighat. Imagine she's listening about Quran and Hadith and Sunnah. Don't you think that will have a positive effect on the child himself? So it's something that parents out there, in particular mothers, because obviously the mother has a stronger bond with the child. They have naturally a stronger bond with the child. And they have a greater power of influence over that child.
And the first madrasa is the lap of the mother, isn't it?
Absolutely. The first madrasa is the lap of the mother. So that mother out there, or those mothers out there in particular, doesn't exclude the father. But in particular, the mother needs to ask herself that, how am I rearing this child? Towards Islamic values or towards destruction? Because if we don't, you know, set the foundation, which is Islamic values, Islamic teachings, obedience to Allah, obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if this is missing in the formative years, in the initial period of time, then later on, when that plant becomes hard, you know, like a tree, it becomes hard to change. The child becomes rebellious because, you know, we did not set that foundation. So many parents out there, maybe the foundation, perhaps the foundation in their lives has not been set properly. So how do I go about it? How, you know, do I have any tips? Is there any place that I can go to reform myself so I can help reform my children, the next generation? That's the future leaders. Well, Dawud Islam is there.
Kya baat hai, Mu'asab. The solution is right there at your door, dear viewers. There's no need to panic. There's no need to stress. There's no need to run around. Everything has been simplified, Allahu Akbar, through Madani Qafila, hundreds and thousands of brothers Maasab, without any exaggeration, over the years have transformed and reformed through these channels, through these departments, have become scholars of the deen, imams of the masajid, muazzins of the masajid, teachers in the madaris. They have become scholars of Islam. They have become learned people. Many of them have passed away in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. It is this fragrant mahol and environment that has changed and sparked this ishq and love in the hearts of millions of people. Join this fragrant movement. Stay good, be good, do good. And wherever you are, Muasab and I leave you with reminding you the mission and the maqsad in this fragrant movement of Quran and Sunnah. And that is, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Spiritual splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir. Spiritual splendor of Rabi'ul Akhir.